You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Earlier this year, the Minister of Education in BC asked the Comptroller General to look at the Vancouver School Board. The ministry's press release that accompanied its report, released 14 days ago, said that the board was responsible for the multi-million dollar deficit it's experiencing because of financial mismanagement. However, some people argue that what the Minister and Comptroller General say about the governance of Vancouver schools is not true. Halicia Luke is one of those people. She's an advocate for education and one of the founders of the BC Education Coalition. And she joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Halicia.
Hello.
Now, let's talk first of all about how this situation developed, that the Minister of Education asked the Comptroller General to look at the Vancouver School Board. Is that a normal kind of situation?
It's not a typical situation. The Vancouver Board has been, I think, particularly loud in their advocacy efforts of raising the flag that they simply don't have enough money to cover the costs and the costs the government has legislated that they need to pay. They're not unique. There are at least 30, probably more like 40 school boards across British Columbia facing exactly the same situation, but I think Vancouver was the loudest. This prompted the minister to appoint someone to look into it, which actually some of us were originally a little bit hopeful that she might actually find evidence that there wasn't enough money. But unfortunately, the scope of her inquiry didn't include looking at whether or not there was enough money coming from the government. So what we see now is the fallout from that and this, what I think is devolved to an open warfare, really, between the board and the minister.
And the Comptroller General is a pretty high-level bureaucrat.
That's right. She's an employee of the government, and that's something I don't think has been that people understand as well as they could. The media has not been great in getting the message across. She's not independent, and she admitted that herself. She is an employee of the Ministry of Finance, unlike, for example, the Auditor General, which has independence from government.
Okay. Now, did she actually say that the VSB is guilty of financial mismanagement?
She didn't use those words in the report. What she did is she outlined and highlighted into several instances that the board had made decisions to fund programs that were unfunded by the provincial government. But these are programs that benefit students. She was talking about things like pre-kindergarten, which is offered in a couple of inner-city schools. She was talking about services like counselors, psychologists, things that help children. That's what she had identified that weren't, in her view as an accountant, because that's what she is, in the long view, weren't sustainable. But it wasn't, when I hear the term mismanagement, I think of wrongdoing. And that's not the case at all. What she found was simply that they were funding programs that weren't sustainable in the long run.
So that term that's definitely been out there in the media, then did that come directly from the Minister of Education?
We saw that phrase show up in the media materials that the ministry issued simultaneously. It was very bad timing, actually. The report itself went to media and to the board at the same time. So by the time the board had, it's a very long report, it's 95 pages, took me 3 hours to read it. By the time they had a chance to respond, the ministry had already been quite successful in getting their spin out there about how they wanted the public to view it.
So let's look at these programs. What kind of programs has the Vancouver School Board been creating? You mentioned pre-kindergarten. Are there other aspects that they've been funding?
They've chosen in some instances to fund all-day kindergarten. That was a change that we saw a number of years ago. It used to be the case that all children went to kindergarten all day. There was funding was cut back so that only certain children, ones that were identified as vulnerable Aboriginal students, the funding was provided. But that's logistically very hard. It's hard to run a class and tell some kids they have to go home at noon. So in some instances, the board decided to run that full-day kindergarten for all the students. Technically, that was unfunded. So it was things like that that she was identifying.
Now, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, to what extent is the Vancouver School Board then in a problem of their own making if they have created programs which for sure are needed programs, but that they have not been given the money to pay for? What was their plan?
Well, they're really in a rock and a hard, between a rock and a hard place. They can't plan. And that is interesting. That's something the Comptroller General did identify, that the ministry has really played down. The ministry gives them funding on a year-to-year basis. They've changed the rules, and we've seen that on many occasions, like, for example, last year, where the ministry decided that year they weren't going to give any of the boards their facilities grants. Well, by the time that announcement came, it was too late. The boards had already, many of them, spent all or part of the money, because that's how they spend in advance. They make contracts for work that's going to be done in advance. So this kind of thing puts them in a terrible position to plan. They can't plan. They can go year to year and hope that the money is there. So money, for example, for a program that might have been available 5 years ago that then dries up, but they've already got that program going. They already have people in the program, people relying on it, people depending on it. We see that with other pots of money as well, not necessarily directly for the ministry, but things like the community link money, which, that's a moving target every year, how much money is going to be provided there. But that money is critical. That provides support for some of the our most vulnerable students. And it's hard to just say, okay, we're not going to provide that today because the ministry isn't going to fund it.
But the Comptroller General in her report didn't say anything about the difficulty. I mean, she's an accountant. Mm-hmm. She knows that you have to have the evidence of money coming in before you can spend it, and that it would be difficult to operate in that kind of situation. But she didn't mention that at all in her report.
She did, actually. She did make a recommendation. She said that the ministry should provide better information to boards so that they can do long-term planning. That's not something the ministry highlighted in their media release. They cherry-picked through the report and picked what they clearly viewed was the most damning evidence in their minds of on the Vancouver School Board. That's what got highlighted.
So now one of the things that's been that I have read is that the Vancouver School Board is being criticized for subsidizing the rent for daycares and after-school care centers. What would it mean if they stopped doing that?
The Comptroller General's report actually recommends a 700% increase in the rental fees for daycares. And that's one of the things that I like to say. That's one of the examples of a just plain silly recommendation. First of all, the daycares simply couldn't afford that. That cost would be directly passed on to parents. So really, what we're looking at is a transfer of costs from government to parents. That's really what you're looking at there. Plus, one of the things we identified in this report is, it's one thing to say you should hike rental rates. It's a whole other thing about whether those groups, community groups, can afford them. So that there were recommendations that they hike rental rates for sports organizations. Well, we've just seen sports organizations gutted in this province through lack of funding from other channels. They can't afford that. So a lot of that kind of thing was, I think, pretty unrealistic.
What is the bigger funding picture for education in BC?
Well, overall, there's a shortfall of about, I think it's now about $170 million is what's needed to shore up the budgets across the province.
So every school board would have a balanced budget if they got $170 million?
What that means is that every board would be able to offer what they offered last year if they had $170 million. This is about maintaining status quo. This isn't about adding. It's about delivering the same quality of programming they delivered last year. And $170 million is a tiny, tiny fraction of the provincial budget. So really they're arguing over a very small amount of money.
And is the province spending more money on education than they were before?
Well, they like to say they are. They've been successful in getting that message out. On a cash basis, the grants per student have increased. However, the percentage of money spent on education has declined in the past 10 years from 25% now to under 15%.
Now, that's a big decline.
It is, and actually I managed to ask the minister a question about that, and her explanation was that healthcare is increasingly taking up larger percent. But I took that as an admission from her that she was acknowledging that, in fact, we are spending less on education.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there's a situation of open warfare at this point between the school board and the ministry. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen now?
Your guess is as good as mine. There were certainly a lot of rumors afoot last week that the board was about to be fired or replaced with a trustee of the minister's choosing. We didn't see that happen. Who knows what's going to happen next week? My sense is that the minister has been so very clear, there is no more money. So the board has put in a quote-unquote balanced budget, but the balanced budget has come on the backs of children. They've balanced it by cutting programs, by cutting things that, that support kids to be successful in school. So how that's going to play out is going to be really interesting.
Well, I guess we'll keep an eye on it. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in this
you.
Morning, Halicia.
Thanks very much.
I've been speaking with Halicia Luke. She's an advocate for education and co-founder of the BC Education Coalition, and you can find their website at stopeducationcuts.org.